Hello.
All right, we're ready.
Ready to hit the recording button?
Yep.
We're going to call the Hamburg City Council Budget Workshop for December 5th to order at 18:30. All right, so we'll get right into it. You know, Jerry, if you want to.
I think the first thing we'll do is I've kind of spent some time looking into. You know, the property tax rates seem to be all over from various people I've talked to. Anywhere from, you know, like the 24% we proposed to 45%. A lot of that's going to be dictated by, you know, your house value, of course. But also what we had is a reduction, a 16% reduction in fiscal disparities, I found out from the county. So just if we proposed a 0% increase in our tax levy, the city tax rate would have went up 2.2% just on that alone. So a lot of it had to do with a reduction in fiscal disparities. And that's something that's kind of outside our control, what we receive in fiscal disparities. And basically what fiscal disparities are is it's monies that is set aside for small cities from the state level to help with small cities that don't have industry, to try to help offset some of that lack of tax base from big industry.
Did they give any kind of explanation as to why the reduction or just?
Yes, but it really didn't. And I got information specifically for Sheldon, and I sent it to him what I got from the county, but you know, for the average person, I don't think it helps them. You know, to be honest,
essentially the fact that our tax capacity went down, so that has a correlated effect to our amount of fiscal disparity that we would get, and so based on that, our tax rate, when you do the little fun formula that you got to do, it reduce the amount of the share that we would have at the city level. So therefore, it increased the amount that everybody would have to pay.
And that was due to homes and possible more homes being sold in the last year?
Yeah. Because they're not on the tax rolls.
Right.
So it really fluctuates from year to year, you know?
Right.
But there again, it's kind of something out of our control. But what me and Chris have talked about, it's something that will maybe tie into the budget a little more and look at that so that we're not just looking at, you know, the impact of what we set the levy at, but in correlation to that, look at how that impacts the city tax rate,
mm-hmm.
because that will dictate.
Yeah, when does that number come out?
Well, I've done some calculations. It's up there. I mean, the formula, the tax rate calculation that the county sends me with all their formulas plugged in there, and I just got to plug in our levy amount and then our fiscal disparity dollars and then our adjusted tax capacity and then the reference market value, and then it'll create your tax rate. So as you can see, we look at last year, our rate was 85.78. And then when we did the proposed, it increased it to 117 about. So there, which, you know, on average was a 32% increase that I think people were seeing. Some are going to see more based on because of valuation. Some might see less than that 32% if their valuation didn't go up or went down. So kind of what we'll do is as we move forward and we jump into the budget, I'll create another line item here. Right here, I'll put a line item. So that way we can have the city tax rate in there too, not just what percentage we're proposing in the increase. Because if you look at it now, what I have the budget going to now is about 5.17 before we get into the budget. And if you look at kind of what that, we plug that in, Our city tax rate will be 94.3. So that's roughly about a little over 8% increase in the tax rate. So it should be much better than the 116 we proposed. But this isn't even our final yet, but this is what we're dealing with tonight with what we have on paper. I mean, really, to hash out just some of the things I want to point out is so I've increased hall rentals. We're already looking at about 12,000 to 13,000 this year that we're going to take in hall rentals. So I bumped that up on a few of our rentals because we have increased rates. And if we do increase rates more, that will affect that also. Like I've said at every budget for the past few years, but really a lot of it, what has really driven our increases have been legal fees. I mean, if you look at these line items of what we've had in legal fees over the years, that's really a big driving force.
Yeah.
One of the other things I looked at here, let me pop that up so you can see. So kind of, you know, what we talked about last meeting is snow removal. And it's always an educated guess, depending on how much snow we're going to get. But you look at 2019, I think that was about the first year when we had to start moving the snow, which then you can see the jump from 18 from about 10 to 14. And then like 17, you know, it was 2,800. So it just, you know, the problem is they're, you know, super El Nino. I mean, is that going to hold all the way for the whole winter season through right. March? And then what's next year going to bring, you know? But I think I feel comfortable at 12. Okay. I mean, if it continues on this pace, hopefully January, February, March, there isn't much either. But sorry for the snow lovers, but helps the budget. And then also what I did is with the wage increase to our part-timer, I've computed that into the budget here now. So I've added that in and factored that in. So when you get to that, like I said, with them few changes made there, that dropped us down to about 5.17. The only real other areas me and Jason kind of talked today, went over it, but if we get into the wish list of items that we possibly can take out of the budget that's outside the norm, you know, what we talked about was, you know, 350 in bar stools, you know, $1,000 in sidewalk repair and maybe 3,000 more in sidewalk repair. So there's about another 4,000 there that we could look at reducing. But also with that, probably the biggest expenses I want to look at, and there are some options here. Is the fact that we have, you know, kind of what I've looked at, what we're for our cash flow. So that number there, you know, minus 89,000 for computing LGA in there, though, there's probably about $42,000 there to play with to keep us even at that. What we recommend is a 35 to 50% cash flow. So, you know, ideally we should, you know, should have in the budget about 331,000 is what we should keep in reserves to be able to pay bills, mm-hmm. You know, because really we get paid twice a year, you know, 85% of our income comes in June and basically beginning of December for collected taxes. So there are some monies there. And as you can see, we have that 90,000 from the enterprise fund. So this is what I want to touch on tonight. The big things here is we have 90,000 from the general fund going to the sewer fund. We also have another project that's built into the sewer. And the 90,000 is for rebuilding the grinder station and another $40,000 for the work needed at the lift station for the gate valve repairs. So right now, I just have the $90,000 transfer from the general fund into the sewer here. And as you can see, the sewer fund's healthy at about 296. Even if we take that hit for the repairs at the lift station, we're still at about 250. The other things to remember is what we need to consider is the fact that we have about $300,000 yet worth of work to do out at the ponds for the riprap. My suggestion is, you know, just because of the times and everything, I just think we're all trying to keep everything low, is look at grants, getting on the project priority list for that project and doing it as a whole, finishing it as a project. We got to finance for it. We finance for it, and then we budget it out over 10 or 15 years or whatever. I mean, would be my recommendation, with maybe looking at taking 50 or 75 or 100 or whatever we feel comfortable with having that cash flow in the sewer fund. Maybe, you know, if it's 300,000, if we can afford to take 100,000 out there, we only have to finance 200,000. You know, then we do that every 10 years and then we go that route. So that's, you know, one of the options. Or like I've said, we have, which we've talked in other meetings, we do have money set aside, you know, for city maintenance funds. There's 113 in there. And that's for anything that needs maintenance. So there's options there to move money to. So the big things are is looking at some of the cash reserves in the general fund to help reduce or offset some of the tax increase, or moving monies from the city maintenance fund.
Comments, any questions, thoughts?
What are we putting into the city maintenance fund every year? You got that number?
No, last year and this year we didn't put in, but we had been putting $5,000
okay
a year into that.
But $113,000, you said, in the maintenance?
Yes. Yep. And then just one other thing I wanted to go over before we jump into kind of really deciphering, but as you can see, the streets here. So I put spreadsheet together here. And this is for Brad Street. So I put a cost estimate together based on numbers of a low and a high of $75 to $82.50 per square yard for redoing Brad Street for basically a reclaim and overlay now versus just a mill and overlay. So that street alone, you know, is $388,000 to $427,000 is about what with the engineer's numbers that's going to cost us to redo Brad Street next year. With our LGA monies, you can see there we have $464,000 in that fund. So there is enough money in that fund to allow us to get to Brad Street.
Oh, we're doing Brad Street next year, right?
That is the plan, yeah. Unless there's some. I never make promises.
Right.
I don't have a crystal ball that
I hear
oil's going to stay where it's at, or war breaks out and oil is at 200 a barrel or something crazy happens. Correct. You know?
Water main break, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, again. Just who knows, right? But if there's no unforeseen items, we do have the monies available there to do Brad Street. So the plan is to bid it out in spring, late winter, probably even.
Yep.
So there's that breakdown. And then like I said, really it comes down to where you're comfortable. So what I've kind of looked at like with the fiscal disparities and figuring out what the city tax rate would be. Like I said, a 5% proposed increase in the city tax levy is going to increase the tax rate about 8%. 4% is going to increase it about 7%. You know, and I look back, it's, I mean, I know we caught some attention there with what we proposed.
Right.
But if you look over the last, you know, few years, what we've proposed, I haven't looked at the tax rates, but I can do that for next meeting over the past 3 to 5 years. I mean, we've proposed, you know, 3, 2, 5, 2%. I mean, we haven't really been over 5% the past 5 years.
Credit.
You know, so, you know, the options are there is tapping into some of the kind of, I would say anything over 50% to me is kind of a cash reserve, I would consider. So there's possibilities of tapping into, you know, the so-called cash reserves, which the sewer is healthy and the general fund's healthy, or the city maintenance fund of transferring monies to help reduce the levy. You know, because even like if you did 10 grand, that'd be 1.5%.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, if you took 15,000 from the maintenance fund.
Right. You could do that from the maintenance fund, or you could just tap into the, you know, about 70%, I think, cash flow we have, you know.
And we've been maintaining that year over year. I mean, we're not seeing wild dips in that. We're
actually above. We've been above that 50%.
I know I'm kind of going off topic a little.
You know, the thing is, you always got to remember there's always one thing that can make that go away too.
Right, right, right.
I mean, to go back, kind of backtrack a little bit.
Yep.
Off the, I know that we talked about the sidewalks in front of the hall.
Yeah.
Do we kind of have an idea, if we raise hall rates, obviously, I mean, a lot of those rates are going to go to cover hall expenses, but what would that hypothetically as of right now for current rentals look like?
You know, so probably looking at 10 or 12 rentals,
you know,
right? Paid rentals. You know, if you increase the rate, $200, that's a $2,000 increase.
Right.
And then it's about $3,000 for the sidewalk repair.
Right.
So you can look at.
Yeah. I mean, if we're raising, to be competitive, because like we've talked about the last couple of meetings, how out of the ballpark we are when it comes to prices compared to venues of that size. I mean, I know it's not, you know,
right,
Bavaria Downs, but yeah. Still, you're not paying 40 grand for it either.
Yeah. Right. You know, because like what I would look at doing there for like the hall rates is maybe bumping non-residents to 1,200 and your residents to 1,000. I think that'd be bumping the non-residents $200,
right,
and the residents $50.
I would go along with that.
Yeah,
I think 1,200 is very reasonable,
especially for. I mean, like I said, you well, go really around and try to rent rental. A place that size,
right?
$1,200.
No, you bring your own caterer in. You bring your own
right.
Alcohol in. And you can't go anywhere.
I know I'm just backtracking a little bit. I'm just trying to think of how we can take things that we want to, you know, take off the budget, but still have the hall pay for it with the rentals increase, mm-hmm. possibly.
Our maintenance is, I mean, I wouldn't mind if you took 20 grand out of maintenance. I don't think that would hurt anything.
Or, I mean, I remember when our accountant or sat in front of us and said, you know, like you said, we're sitting at 70%.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to think in my head. I'm like, does it make?
What is 20% there?
Yeah.
What is 20%
of what's that number? What's
20? In the
Well, I figure about 40,000.
Okay.
And that still leaves you at 50%.
We're yeah.
at the top of the.
Which is what I mean here, what they recommend.
If we're consistently running.
Our policy, we recommend keeping the cash flow at 35 to 50. So ideally, right. if we're above 50, we should probably be moving monies into savings.
Right.
Or CDs or.
Right.
You know.
And I guess the
main money, making money on that money.
What do we think about? I mean, at this point, it's do we keep a healthy city maintenance fund in case of a what if and get to back to the 50%? Or do we take a little bit from each pot?
Yeah.
And put the rest into CDs for interest earned or whatever.
Because just for what was the cost on if we would have had to have replaced the media and the water filtration?
40,000.
So that's, I mean, one little hiccup in our water plant, $40,000.
Right.
Gone.
Right.
So, I mean, it's healthy, but at the same point in time, we're two hiccups away from,
you know.
Yeah.
Well, the nice thing with the water fund is if you see here, you know, if you look at the city debt, so we're going to be having, on average, you know, we're going to be freeing up $60,000 after 2024. That's going to help to rebuild the water fund.
Right.
Yeah, boy, that'd be nice. I mean, so that's kind of a plus. And what I've done is, I don't know if you've looked, but kind of what I've done to show you where we're at with water and sewer funds. So about a 1% increase grows the water fund by about almost $2,000. A 1% increase to the sewer fund, about $700. And same with stormwater, $700. So one thing I do too on this spreadsheet to kind of keep it simple to show you what a 1% increase is. If you look at the water fund with 1%, we're 3,800 to the good, right? If you don't do no increase, you're about 2 to the good. Like I said, the sewer, we're looking to dip in about 42 grand of that. And that's for the grinder station because that fund is healthy.
Right.
Stormwater, we do have a stormwater repair that's about $6,500. You know, with a 1% increase, we're running a shortfall of about $1,800. But if you look at the stormwater fund, we're healthy. So there's monies there, I think, to offset that because we don't have no other. I mean, knock on wood, this is the hardest part of the budget. And like I always tell, me and Jason sat down and I said, anything you can see coming down the pipeline. Mm-hmm. You know, because before you start dipping into reserves and those type things, are you accounting for the next 5 years out? Because otherwise you can get yourself into some trouble if, everything's fine at the water treatment plant. And then, like you said, no, actually, that medium isn't good. Well, there's 40 grand. There's 50 grand. You don't take, rebuild a grinder station, 90 grand. I mean, it don't take much to just all of a sudden
right.
take that out. But, I mean, we've kind of, and I think, like I said, say you didn't have the grinder station. I mean, that's 90,000 out of the budget. We're looking pretty good then.
Looking really good.
Right. So it's always them things that come about. And with that, what we're looking to do is Jason and Kurt are creating a spreadsheet so we can, like we talked one of the other meetings, so we can have that kind of like a CIP, capital improvement plan, for infrastructure. So that way we can anticipate when things need to be replaced.
Or how old they currently are.
Right. Yeah, even just knowing.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I think we should tap into either the maintenance budget or that excess cash flow, but I'm not an accountant. I don't know. What makes them, like you said, if our accountant was sitting right here,
what makes the most sense?
Yeah, like what makes the most financial sense for the city? I mean,
well, I think ideally how our auditor is going to look at that is he's like, you have a policy, right? Mm-hmm. That says your cash flow should be at 35 to 50. Then that's what that's what you should be working on, that your cash flow is at 35 to 50 for general debt, water, sewer, you know, because your enterprise funds are separate. I mean, that's what the auditor is going to look at. They're going to look at your policies and say, hey, they're going to look at your reserves going, great. Great to have. Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm. I guess I'm kind of leaning towards, I mean, there's a lot of cities out there in a heck of a lot worse situations than we are. And if we can get to the high end tier of that 50% to be in, you know, kind of what our guidelines are, according to the auditors, and take monies out of there to make us towards 50%. And then whatever is left over can go into savings or like I've talked about, you know. And then, yeah, I don't know. I just like we've talked about numerous times that we didn't expect this $135,000 coming this year, you know, so it'd be keep a healthy city maintenance fund. I don't know.
Yeah. I kind of like that too, especially if that's the way the auditor's going to lean. I think if we're going to pull some money out of something, let's rein in that cash flow and use that to kind of push this down a little bit, especially with already, you know, whatever we raise, we're looking at another 3% regardless.
Right.
Right.
So, I mean, to be honest, I'd like to see the whole thing at 5%.
Yeah, same. I'd like to see it 4.5 to 5 in that range.
Yeah.
And if okay. So let me look at the. I figured that's what would come into play tonight. Just bear with me. Well, let's see what. Oops. We say 3%, right? 580, 742. That puts us at 5-something. So like if we increase it 3%, we're going to be at about, 5.8?
Okay.
And then if you want to know, like, say we only go 2%. So 3 is 5.8. Remember that? Mm-hmm. And then let's say we
put that
2% by 75,105. And there, that's going to get you at under 5.
So far.
How much money would we have to take out of our cash flow, our excess cash flow, to bring that down to 2%?
About $11,000.
That's all you have to take out?
Yeah.
Then let's do it.
Yeah, I mean,
and that's not even
still kind of running into excess, really.
Because I mean, if we're like talking 40,000, you know, roughly, which granted we can put some into savings, but and hopefully next year, you know, this disparity thing will
go away,
come back the other way. If, you know, depending on how many homes are sold, I guess.
Yeah. Well, a lot of homes were sold this year.
Yeah, well, a lot of homes were bought as well, but like I said, not part of the year. Yeah, not part of the tax.
The year thing wasn't homesteaded for a year.
Oh, is that what it is?
So it'll be about 17.8.
Taken out.
That basically we tap into reserves and we're still above that 50%. So,
how much above that 50%?
About 20 grand. Because one of the things here, I know it shows 122, but got to account for LGA.
Right.
Yeah. But I mean, we don't have to close that gap in a year.
Right.
But I mean,
no, if we put it towards 50, slowly start working it back towards that 50.
I mean, I think that's a
that should be a goal to work that down to the upper end of our guidance or manual that we have.
Yeah.
So then, like I said, we're at 2% is what we've increased the property tax levy that we're submitting. And then in reality, it's what?
So 4.6 with everything?
4.5, 4.6 then is about what we're at.
So below last year.
That's what the rate will be difference.
Yeah.
Right. That doesn't necessarily going to equate to
right
an exact dollar amount.
Yeah, yeah. Correct.
Yeah, it doesn't mean everybody's going to go.
Right, right.
Because
right,
there's
right.
so many other deciding factors.
Right. Through Carver County.
On average, yeah. We'll say.
Mm-hmm.
Say go with it.
I mean, and from what I understand, most cities are at about 7 to 9%.
That's probably before you did them. They're not calculating that number.
Yeah, I don't know if they looked at the tax rate or not. I think that 7 to 9% is actually the levy, city tax rate.
I mean, yeah, that's excellent. But going back, just I know we talked about in the past, you haven't highlighted the center additions fund.
Yeah. So what we've talked there, like we've talked is it this doesn't have to be done this year.
Right.
But I think within the next couple of years, because of that money that's in there, is what we're going to do with the money from here,
mm-hmm.
which let me pull up. Like I said, you know, we have 20 for the park and then 28 for a community center addition. But like we said, we just did some minor alterations up here. So we didn't need to put that addition on the room.
And just
so what we can do is use both those monies if we want to look at making the park handicap accessible, the bathrooms down
there. Yeah.
Or it could be used for.
I emailed Jeff today to see if he could have us at 12 or whatever. That's been ripped. And then you seen I emailed Corey.
Yes, I did.
Grinder.
Yep.
That might hopefully go down a bit.
But I mean, that's not pressing that we have to do next year, right. But it's something to consider if we want to mess with them bathrooms, because we're probably spending about $1,000 a year on that handicap porta potty.
Yeah. Right. And that'll just pay for itself over it.
Right.
Porta potties aren't going to get any cheaper as we go farther down the line.
Mm-hmm. You don't have to worry about getting to door.
Right.
That too.
And all the, yeah.
One of the people told one on service.
Yeah.
And then that was $1,000 bill there.
Yeah. 800 something. Probably 900.
Yeah.
Well, maybe 1,000 can count in the toilet paper.
Yeah, we can wait to see what they come back with estimates on that. But right. I know I was just highlighted, so I just wanted to.
Yep.
And that doesn't have to be done this next year.
Right.
It's money's in the budget.
Do it whenever.
Do it whenever.
Yep.
Right.
And did we already have budgeted for, is that where that awning's pulling away from the community hall?
That's in the budget.
Okay.
It's in the budget.
Next year. Gotcha.
We thought about that, but we just feel if that's gapped and there's water getting behind there, it's got to get addressed.
It's got to get done.
Yep.
Right.
Otherwise, that $8,000 bill is going to be $20,000.
Yeah, right. Well, I mean, you saw the Hamburg Fire Department sign, right? Water got behind that and you started rusting off.
Yeah, we've already.
It's exact same situation.
Well, yeah. I told Stephen, I said, now, put that damn sign up. I just did my budget.
Yeah.
But what we're looking at is just getting a piece of tin to go over it.
Right.
To cover it. I don't care what color it is. Just the size of what the sign is.
Yeah, for sure.
You won't see it. It'll fix the issue.
Nobody will see it.
Because Stephen was like, well, now we're going to have to re-side the whole front. I said, oh, no. I just did the budget. So we're looking to piecemeal that.
Right. Like we talked about, staying proactive on some of the stuff that could be coming down the line. So yeah. You know, if we can.
Yeah, that's, you know, like
replace the awning to save the building.
Yep. You know, I wish I had a crystal ball, but, you know, like weather people too, you know, we all bitch about it, but yet.
All right.
You know, why I get a 10-day forecast when you can't get the next day to think.
Council, anything else? We still got one more week before we finalize it.
I'm happy with what we just did.
Yeah, and so then the other thing is, you know, we'll at the next meeting too, we'll also set water sewer rates and then the fee schedule. And like I said, the only things I had on the fee schedule was really the whole rental rates to look at.
Yeah.
Unless you
have a pop rate,
yeah, popping cups. So anything really the hall would related to the hall, but other than that, I didn't see anything other than water and sewer rates. So that's something to ponder to or think of, you know, what we're doing there and what we want to do with water sewer rates too. As you can see, this one worksheet, and it's a nice worksheet that all you got to do is, I got it all set up. So all you got to do is go down here, punch in the percentage increase, and it tells you, it just computes it all. So that's another thing to consider too. And that's another thing to look, you know, that we can tap into versus reserves. Is, but I know too, I mean, we all know where our rates are there too. We like to try to keep them down too. Mm-hmm.
So you got a grant writer?
We are working with is it Grant Match?
Grant Watch.
Grantwatch.com.
Grinders getting prepared. What is it about?
Rebuilding the whole thing.
And that does what?
Or
first of all, the location is
Jacob Street.
Okay.
And what that is there four or five houses on that?
Six houses.
Yeah. Okay. So about seven houses on that, where when they did that addition, the pipe wasn't deep enough for gravitational fall. Right. So it needs a lift, pump lift, dump it in.
Bad valves then too, right?
It's.
No, the valves are down.
No, the valves are the grinder or the lift station.
The lift station out for the goods where you can't shut that valve.
Yeah. And what we had happen is one of them broke.
I'm sorry?
One of them broke.
Yeah.
So we have to get it fixed.
Yeah. And the big significance of that is, say, all of a sudden there's a backup in a sewer and it keeps coming to someone's house, we could never shut it off.
Oh, right.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I'm just for everyone listening.
We don't want that, right. Trust me. No. So the thing there is that's probably a little more spend to your bill, because while you're down there, you might as well replace both valves.
Right.
Considering the age. Otherwise, in 2 years, we're
doing it again.
Yeah, pay double then. So, and then there are two big expenses. If we didn't have those, take 130 out of the budget, we'd be trying to figure out what to do with the money issue versus.
Well, Tim made his office.
Well,
Brad Street, it's the memory problem. That one was all rebuilt about 7 years ago, wasn't it? And then there was a whole bunch of repairs.
That was probably, it was a little more than that, because 12 years ago, if you remember, we did the, redid the stormwater and the sewer down there.
Oh, absolutely.
In 2011. And that's when it really wreaked havoc on the roads there, because they had to cut into the road and be patched. And
yeah, a lot of patches.
Yeah, there. A lot.
And I believe that was the other reason why that street got pushed off, was we put another big fire hydrant in, because we didn't have one there for the fire department, where if there was a fire in that corner, they would have to either go the opposite way around the street or pull hose a long ways. And so in order to put that fire hydrant in, we have to let it sit through a freeze thaw before we reclaim it. Otherwise the road will possibly collapse in that spot. So that's why, again, I believe.
So that's why we put the hydrant in.
We put the hydrant
in. So that way everything would settle by the time we do the street project.
Right.
But yeah, like I said, it is on the books for next year, but you know, the monies are there, hoping, you know, the world stays intact and inflation comes down, hopefully, versus going up. And that like inflation has hurt people's personal checkbooks, it's hurt the city too. Like inflation has hurt you personally. It's the same thing with the city. So it's kind of a double whammy for taxpayers.
Yeah.
I mean, I just look at the cost of everything. I just say everything because everything's gone up 10%.
Well, I understand register and whether or not it's explicit this year, next year, whatever. Some of the other streets, I think, all you need is just a little bit of tar and crack.
Yeah.
Nothing major, no painting.
Seal coating, crack sealing, no maintenance.
Well, not seal. Not seal, just the building.
Well, there are some that.
Both restaurants, we have seen.
The
restaurant there, bar. You're supposed to go about 2 or 3 years. Yeah. Then we have in front of this year already.
Yeah,
I know it's that grass and besides that. Yeah, the seal was done on a few straight shares a couple years ago, too. That I understood. But they didn't do any spill on the cracks at all. And that's the problem.
We got that budgeted.
I think if you just get the fill in there, it'll make it just.
That's because I believe Donald's one of them, correct?
It takes the jar. Donald, George, William.
Yeah. I think they're the main ones.
Yeah, they're the main and then bar man. Yeah. Yeah, that's on that side. There's probably about a dozen Valley ones.
Yeah, because we.
That takes care of that.
Yeah, we have about $30,000 in the budget to do crack filling and crack sealing. For next year.
I didn't give you an address last night, so was it posted on the city?
Yeah, if you go to the city website and go to info and permits,
it's there
okay. In a PDF.
Yep. I saw the meeting notices and all my other stuff there, but I didn't know.
Yeah. So you're going to under info and permits tab. It'll be under the info. It'll be the top thing on under info.
Yeah, I think the grants are very important to get those in, put in too.
The hard part with grants is a lot of your grants for cities are based on median household income. And the median household income out here, I hate to tell you, is high.
It's 74,000.
Just trust me, it's not from a lack of trying. From me and Chris,
right.
Actually even going down to the Capitol, which I've done a few times, and Chris has done more than I have. So not from a lack of effort.
Yeah, I mean, to get that water tower, I think between Jeremy and I combined, either by ourselves or together, we were down there at least 12 to 15 times talking to our legislators and talking to other committee chairs to try to get them to increase the loan program so that way we could qualify and be in line. Because of our median income, we were always like 3-4 steps outside of where they cut it off. And if we had a lower median income, then we would be inside it.
Well, and I think a frustration I have, and you know, I may get marked for this, but it did happen, this past legislation, where a lot of cities tried to get a lot of bonding pushed through, and it got ixnayed just because of the representative party it was coming from. So there are some party issues down at the Capitol too.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the flip side of that too is now we are represented by a representative of the House that is more open to doing bonds than
right.
prior.
Yeah.
After the redistricting took place, we we got a more bond-friendly representative.
So we're trying to work with this grant company here to get us monies. And some of the biggest areas we're looking for the grants are really infrastructure. Them are your expensive items. I mean, infrastructure cost has gotten insane. Because we even looked at doing a lot of expansion, trying to keep or add businesses in town. But I mean, even just to the west of here, it was for a couple lots, it ended up being $200,000. Then the problem is the businesses don't want to kick anything towards that. And then they want the city to be on the hook for 200, the taxpayers be on the hook for 200,000. We looked at across the street over here doing that too. And what was it? Just $500,000 for a lift station. It's insane. You know, so a lot of things are not from a lack of effort, I would say. It does. I mean, well, the problem is, in order to be able to afford to grow, you have to grow at such a pace.
Right.
You know, you almost got like double in size.
And as we all know from our 2040 comp plan.
Yeah. That's not on the
horizon. That's not on the horizon.
Not in the plan.
Not even a 10% jump.
No, exactly. It's not on the horizon.
Not even 10 homes.
Right.
Well, council, anything else or public, anything else? No? Okay. Okay. Like I said, we'll finalize it next Tuesday. And that, so if nothing else, then I would entertain a motion to adjourn the workshop.
Councilman Tracy, I make a motion to adjourn the 2024 final budget workshop.
Councilman Poplar, second it.
Moving seconded to adjourn the workshop. All in favor?
Councilman Poplar, aye.
Councilman Paulzine, aye.
Councilman Tracy, aye.
Mayor Lund, aye. All opposed? We are adjourned at 19:19.